This is Mireya Loza. I'm here with Carmen Soto in Avondale, Arizona. It's the 10th of January, 2007. Carmen, can you describe where you were born?
I was born in 1941 in a Goodyear Farms camp, number 54.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me, did you come from a big family or a little family?
A big family. I have two sisters and three brothers, or three girls and three boys.
Mm-hmm. What was the Goodyear farm like? What did it look like?
It was a big farm, agricultural farm. My dad was a foreman. He first started on horseback. I still remember him on horseback. And he then later, Goodyear supplied them with trucks so they could do their rounds in the trucks. Mm-hmm. I remember one time my dad, I don't know, he would always, I guess they didn't like coyotes in the area because they'd kill the sheep. And I remember one time, well, in those days, my dad would help my mom by always having the youngest one with him in the truck. When he'd go do his runs, when he'd go do all his whole job, the youngest one to help my mom out was always in the truck. And I remember one time we had gone to the store and my dad bought a milk nickel, which was an ice cream bar covered with chocolate that were a nickel each. And he would never buy me one. He would only buy one for the both of us. And after he ate all the chocolate, and then he would give me the ice cream that was inside. Well, on the way home, he saw a coyote, and he wanted to catch it with a truck. I don't know whether he really wanted to capture it or run over it or what, but he chased that thing, and we ended up in a ditch. We never caught the coyote, but we ended up in a ditch, and my dad on top of me. He slid on top of me, so I remember that. You know, about my dad always helping my mom out with watching the youngest one. I didn't realize that at the time, but now that I think about it, that's what he did. He helped my mom out.
Mm-hmm. So what did your mom do?
My mom was a homemaker. She always stayed home, cooked, and took care of everyone.
Mm-hmm. And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
The two sisters and the three brothers. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Were they a lot older than you? Were you the
little I am the third one in the family. I had my oldest sister, Belen, and then Ramon, he passed last year. Mm-hmm. And then there's me, then George, and Manuelita, and Jose Luis is the youngest one.
And what was your family like? Where did you guys live? What was the house like?
The house was a large home because my dad was a foreman. We had a wood-burning stove. We had our own bedrooms. I remember on Christmas time, which was a, you know, really I had the Christmas spirit then when we were young. We were poor. We never had a Christmas tree. But my mom and my sister would decorate the corner of the house with, my dad would buy some brand new white sheets. There were no color sheets back then, I don't think. So anyway, they'd pin the sheets in the corner of the living room, and then the Christmas tree ornaments were pinned on the sheets, decorated like an altar. Uh-huh. And then underneath, of course, my mom would have a chest of drawers or whatever, and there she'd make the nativity scene, and that was, you know, our Christmas tree instead of the Christmas tree. We had that decoration up, I remember that. So it was a true meaning of Christmas, not so much the tree, but the nativity scene. And we'd say rosaries at night, and we couldn't open our presents till the next day.
Did you go to school there in the camp?
No, we went to school in Litchfield. I just went to grammar school there, and then the first year of Awafria, we had to move to, well, we didn't have to move. They transferred us by bus to the high school.
In Awafria?
In Avondale, yes. Awafria Union.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the high school?
Uh-huh.
And at what age do you remember working? Did Did you start working young or did you work when you were older?
I worked in the fields. My dad was opposed to it because he said he was a breadwinner of the family, but it was boring after a while once I could, you know, as a teenager. So I worked, I picked cotton, and we worked, we call it desaje, when we were cleaning out the weeds from the cotton or whatever it was that we were doing. And then later on, I even picked grapes at Talawiwi Ranch.
So what did I...
That was my experience.
What did kids in the camps do for fun? Did you guys...
We, way, way back then, we had games that we played. We had one game that was a calling game. We called it Campanita Ronchiflón. I mean, it was made up because later I heard that it was a derivative of Run Chief Run. Run Chief Run, it sounds the same, doesn't it? So it was a calling game. We had a lot of fun with it because it included a group of people, you know, a group of children at one end of the camp at night and calling and see if we could track each other down. I don't really remember. We had a lot of fun with that. In between the row of homes, there were some outhouses. And we would play school with the outhouses. The teacher was selected. The children would line up, and then she would hold either a pebble or a rock or something, an object in her hand, put it behind her back, and see if you could guess where the pebble was. If you could guess, you'd advance to the next grade, the first grade, second. There was like 10 outhouses. So then you'd graduate. Whoever graduated first became the teacher, and we'd make another round. That kept us entertained. We played baseball a lot, especially with Abraceros. I remember, I think that's what got me going. I later played softball for Phoenix City Leagues. So that was my start, you know, of liking the sport.
So how is it that the Abraceros got involved with playing baseball with?
I guess it wasn't much to do when they weren't working, and we'd all get together and we'd play. We'd get a stake that was used for making the dams in the, because back then they had dirt ditches. They didn't have the cement ditches. And they'd use a canvas and then the stakes to stop the water from passing on to another section of the field. And so that's what we used as a bat. And then we'd make our gloves. We really didn't need gloves because I don't think the ball was all that hard back then. But we made our own gloves out of canvas. And in fact, I still have a scar on my leg because I was cutting it with a razor blade, a single-edge razor blade. I was cutting the outline of the glove, and I cut my leg. And then we'd pack it in with cotton, and that was our gloves so that we used. But we had a lot of fun playing baseball.
When was the first time, what age were you, when you first started hearing about braceros?
I think I had to have been like 10 years old, but because I remember playing ball then, being able to play. And I remember my mother telling us, "Mijita, there's going to be some men, single men, coming, and they're going to be living over there in La Cuadra." We called that Cuadra, which was just like barracks. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I do not want you to go over there by yourself. You always stick around the house here." She didn't, you know, she was protecting us. That's what she was doing. I didn't realize it then. So we were afraid when they first came. And then they ended up like family. You know, they'd go over to the house and they'd eat with us and they would play ball with us. There was a group that sang and we'd have parties, get-togethers, and they became like family.
You were saying that they slept in barracks. What were the barracks used before that? And can you describe the layout so I can understand what was around the barracks and where were you guys in relationship to the barracks?
We were like in the corner of the camp. We were like a few yards, let's say 100 yards away from where the barracks were. Mm-hmm. But it was, I guess, originated for the workers. You know, and then when they moved out, the families moved out, that's where they were brought to stay there.
And how many houses were there Were the houses around or beside the barracks?
There were some houses around, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, about how many families and houses lived? Or how many houses were there and how many families do you think lived there?
Oh, I couldn't tell you how many there was. When they came, there wasn't altogether that many at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of families had moved out.
Mm-hmm. And so, what was your first impression when you started seeing these men come in?
Well, like I said, I was scared at first because of what my mom had told me, but I didn't really know. I just, there were single men, you know, I didn't know anything else, so I was scared. But like I said, later they became part of the family, genuine people.
Mm-hmm. And so the first time that they came in, can you describe that moment? Were they like bust in? Did you see files of men coming in? Did you see them, a couple men wandering?
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember most. Them wandering around and them going to work and then coming home and gradually, you know, mm-hmm. They were among us, you know. And my mom, they were very friendly, very sincere people. They, my mom even communicated with the wives. I remember back in Mexico, but I remember one, his name was Lorenzo. Ascension was another one. And there was one that played the guitar, Alberto. My grandfather had bought a guitar from a salesman. How he found our location, I don't know, but he was selling a guitar, a Gibson guitar, very beautiful guitar. And my grandfather bought it so that my older sister could learn how to play, because my dad and my uncles were all musicians. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he thought my older sister could learn to play. Well, she never did, but they got their hands on that guitar and they sang just beautiful songs when they were at home. And so we had parties and dances and intertwined with them all the time, just like part of the family, like I said.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the dances? Can you describe to me how the dances were?
The dances were mostly polkas, like corridos. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I even danced with my dad one time. Mm-hmm. Not several times, but I remember dancing with him. He was a musician, but he hardly ever danced, but I got him to dance with me.
Where did the dances take place?
In the road, on the road. We would, dirt road. It didn't matter then. We'd water it down really good, and that's where we danced. We could dance anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And so when the dances would begin, were there more men than women?
I think so, from what I can remember, yeah.
And I'm just trying to imagine these. So,
it was fun, I tell you. My dad would tell him when he'd see the bracero dancing, he'd always say, I wish you were as good as workers as your dancers. So they'd all start laughing. They looked up to my dad a lot. They respected him.
Why do you think that was?
He was good with people. He knew how to treat people.
Mm-hmm. And was your dad originally from Mexico, or was he?
My dad was born in, I think it was around Hayden, Arizona. My mom was from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And every time that they'd read about something that somebody had done wrong, my mom would say, he's probably from Hayden. Or my dad would say, oh, he's probably from Sonora. They'd cut each other down all the time.
And so when your family spoke with the braceros, did you guys speak in Spanish?
Spanish. Or? Mm-hmm, Spanish. Mm-hmm. That's all they spoke.
Mm-hmm. And did you guys think that they spoke different than the Spanish?
I don't remember that. We communicate it well.
Mm-hmm. And did any of them ever attempt to go to school or do anything?
No, they were here just to work.
How old were they?
Maybe in their 20s, 30s. Mm-hmm. Very good looking. I remember that. I remember one, Lorenzo had beautiful skin. I don't know what part of Mexico he was from, but they said that that's the people that came from there drank a lot of pulque, which is kind of like a drink that they make. Mm-hmm. And their skin was just like satin. It was so smooth and shiny and rosy cheeks. I remember Lorenzo very well because he was so different from the other ones because of his complexion.
Was he light or just his skin color? Or his
light.
Skin
he was light, but not fair complected. Just, you know, light skin, but not that fair, but with the rosy cheeks and then the dark hair. Very nice. But my dad told me that because they drank pulque that was made back then and at home.
Did the girls really like the braseros?
I wasn't... Well, there was one that ran away. She was married and ran away with one. And he was the best looking one of all.
She was married.
So they did. She was married. Her name was Linda. I don't remember his name. I just remember he was very good looking. So like I said, I was 10 years old. But she ran away with him. Yeah. Yeah, so I guess so.
Were there a lot of girls dating them?
I don't remember that. Just that, you know, part where Linda ran away with. I forgot his name. I think it was Jose, but he was very, very good looking.
How long were you able to make a lot of friendships with them, or not really because they left? How long were they usually there?
That I don't remember. Mm-hmm. That I don't remember. How long? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But some people were there long enough so they...
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I remember one, when he first came, he said that the work was hard for him to irrigate the fields, but that my grandfather, I forget how old he was, but he was on in years. He was still working. Wow. And he said, and of course it was very hot, you know, in the summertime. So he said that he was ready to give up, but then when he saw my grandfather working at that age, that impressed him a lot, and he said, if that man can do it, so can I. And that's what made him last the duration of the time.
Wow, your grandfather was still working?
Yes, he was still working. I have pictures of him there, how old he was, and he was still working.
I'll scan them. Mm-hmm. And are there other things you can recall when you guys played baseball? Did the braceros know the rules to baseball?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yes, they knew the rules.
You guys didn't have to teach them?
No. Mm-mm. We had fun. Those are the best years of my life.
So where did you guys play? Describe
what in the middle of the road, in the middle of El Llano, we called it, where there was no homes, that's where we played. Never. We could play anywhere and any time.
And were there a lot of girls playing baseball?
I was a tomboy, mm-hmm. So I don't remember that many girls. Mostly the braceros and my brothers and other youngsters, but I remember. I probably could have been the only girl. That's why I became a tomboy.
So how long would the baseball games go? Would you guys play a long time?
Oh, yeah.
Days out of the week would you guys play?
Whenever, whatever. Whenever we had nothing to do, we'd get together and we'd play. It was a lot of fun.
And were the braceros actually good at baseball?
Yes, they were. It was competitive.
And did you guys make teams that were integrated, or it was like braceros against...
No, ball? No, integrated. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I told my little brother, not the youngest, but the one that followed me, I told him, get out of the way, I was batting. I remember the time he didn't get out of the way. I hit him with a stake when I swung the bat. I got in trouble. His nose was bleeding, his whole face. I got in a lot of trouble that time, but it was his fault. I told him, get out of the way.
What do you think the braceros thought about you then? Because you were playing baseball.
I don't know. I'd like to ask them now.
Being one of the few women
there. Yeah, uh-huh. Well, young girl, I was like 10, 11. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it was a tomboy, so.
Did you guys work beside them when you picked?
No, that was later when I started doing that. Because like I said, I was 10, around 10, 11 when they were here. And I didn't start working in the fields till I was like 14 maybe.
And they were gone by then?
They were gone by then. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they were only there in Camp 54, a short period.
Yeah. I wish I could,
okay.
You know... tell you exactly, but I can't remember that part.
You were 10 years old.
It was nothing important then, you know. It was just, you know, way of life, and didn't think that I should remember things.
And so when they ate, you mentioned that sometimes they ate with you.
Mm-hmm.
Was it because you guys invited them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And in fact, the part of Mexico that they were from, a lot of corn was grown. And my mom would make some tamales de elote. And my mom taught them a lot of meals that they weren't even aware of. Yet they had all the supplies over there. So they went back, I'm sure, telling their wives or families of new, you know, recipes that my mom had taught them.
So your mom had a lot of patience for them.
Uh-huh. My mom did. She, you know, adored them just like we all did. Respected them.
Mm-hmm. And so when you guys invited them over to, I guess, hang out with your family, mm-hmm. What other kind of activities did you
They would watch TV.
You guys had a
They'd
TV?
Watch TV. Yeah, we had a TV. They'd watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially when wrestling was on.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The wrestling matches.
What was so interesting about the wrestling?
That was the only exciting thing there was, and something they could understand, maybe. You know, they didn't understand the language, so wrestling they could.
Mm-hmm.
And wrestling was popular, I think, in Mexico. Mm-hmm. You know, very popular, so.
And you guys didn't watch any other shows?
Maybe baseball, the Yankees, which I'm still a fan of. The Yankees.
So basically,
since back then.
Oh. So basically sports.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I liked.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys had dances and parties. Did you guys drink or?
They did. Mm-hmm. They did. They were old enough to drink in the parties. Mm-hmm. All the men drank.
And
that's how they got to the dancing part.
And who actually played at the parties? Was it the braceros or
We could have, like I say, my dad and the brothers had their own band. Mm-hmm. They were called Los Coyotes.
Los Coyotes.
And I asked one time, why Los Coyotes? And they said that because the grandmother, I think, their grandmother was called La Vieja Coyota. For whatever reason, they called her that, and then everybody was Coyotitos. So to this day, if I meet somebody from way back then, and I say, yo soy hija de Ramón Soto, and they go, Ramón Soto, Ramón Soto. And I go, el coyote, ah, el coyote, you know, and that's what he was known as, el coyote.
Mm-hmm. And so your father was the one that played.
My dad played the violin. His other brothers were guitar, accordion, bass players. Mm-hmm. And they played for dances. And if they didn't play, we had a record player.
So you guys took out the record player?
Oh, yeah, record player, and we'd dance.
What kind of records did you have then to play at parties?
A lot of corridos, like I said, mm-hmm. and polkas, anything. Mm-hmm. We danced to anything.
American music too, like English?
That came later. I remember I liked Elvis Presley, and we started playing Elvis Presley songs. That came later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But before it was just Mexican music.
Did they listen to any music that was different to what you had?
I don't think so, no. And like I said, they were musicians too. Alberto played the guitar, I mean, beautifully, and they accompanied. They had like a trio. I don't know whether they knew each other before or they just blended their voices together, but they were really good. We could just go outside and hear them sing. They could just come from work and then start, you know, playing the guitar and singing, and forever and ever, all night. And, you know, we enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever sing in the fields, too?
Probably so. A lot of people sang in the fields. Oh, yes, a lot of them. I mean, that was part of the job,
really?
To be singing. Even when I worked in the grapes, which was later, maybe I was 14, everybody was singing out in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. When the braceros came, where did they actually buy their supplies? Did the Goodyear farms provide them with all of their meals and their supplies? Or
that part, I remember my dad taking them to the store, but I don't remember that part
mm-hmm.
very much.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if you guys, did you ever go to the city at that point when you were that little?
Yes, we used to ride the bus to go into town. Back then, Phoenix only had the one center, downtown Phoenix. There were no malls, no nothing then. Mm-hmm. And we used to go there. My dad would take us shopping to Glendale, mm-hmm. to a JCPenney's there. My dad always did the shopping. My mom would always take the bus to go into town, I remember.
Did you guys ever bump into braceros in town?
I don't remember that part. I remember just taking the bus and being with my mom. And my mom was very protective. I was, like, afraid of the men then, you know, men that I didn't know. You know, I was just a little girl, and I'd just look up to them. But I don't remember the braceros, you know, taking the bus then. Just life at the camp.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything ever out of the ordinary that happened while they were there? Any accidents?
I remember one time, not accidents, but I remember one caught typhoid fever. And I remember us going through a lot of injections because of that. Mm-hmm. And we had to take three. And I remember my mom, she could hardly do any work. Because they had gone into the camps to inject the people. And my brother and I, we were in school at the time. So we had to go from school, which to the doctor's office, just like 2 blocks away. And I remember everybody complaining about how their arms hurt and they couldn't move their arms and complaining about the pain. And so me and my brother finally went to get our first shot. And we were walking back to school, criticizing everybody. Look at it, that didn't even hurt. And this and that. By the time we got to the school, we couldn't move our arm. It was really bad. And we had to go through three different injections, spaced apart. You know, we had to go through that. I remember that. Yeah, one had typhoid fever.
Is there any other things that happened at the camp that were out of the ordinary while they were there?
No violence, no nothing. We didn't even know about any violence then. Mm-hmm. That I, you know, at that age, I didn't even know.
Nothing,
no drugs, no robberies, nothing. No, nothing. Life was good then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And are there any other exceptional stories that you remember of your interactions with braceros? Any of your friendships with them? Did you ever spend any time and have just conversations about where they came from?
No, that was mostly done with my mom.
Really?
Mm-hmm, with my mom and my dad.
Mm-hmm. So your mom, so when your mom had them over, they would
talk about things? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And would they talk about their families at
home? Oh, yes, their families all the time.
Did they ever need any help with other things that your family assisted them with, like writing letters or?
I don't remember that part. I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
Did they ever come to your mom or your dad with any other problems?
No, none whatsoever.
No?
Not that I can remember.
So then after the braceros left, did life in the camp resume as usual or?
Yes, people started moving out. There were contractors that come in, and people from Texas came to work. And I worked with them in the fields, too, doing that. And then gradually they moved. They moved out, and our house was the only one left. Mm-hmm. Which was nice, too. You know, I mean, we didn't treasure it then. It was, like, boring, kind of. We'd walk around, you know. It was safe. You know, we had, my mom would grow her crops, and we had, across the road from us, there was a ditch, a pump, irrigation pump, and my dad would turn it on to water, irrigate the fields, and it was a place to go swimming, better than a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. And then across the street, that was a cemented ditch, across the street, the water would flow under the road, and there was no cement on the other end, and the water, of course, would eventually spread and form like a creek. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun to swim in that too. We'd make sand castles, and along that creek was tamarack trees. And we used to climb them. They're the best trees to climb. Like I said, I was a tomboy. And then get to the top of the tree and jump into the water down underneath. It was a lot of fun.
Until when did your family decide to move out of the camps?
They built a home for my dad in Camp 53. And so that's when we moved.
Mm-hmm. And was Camp 53...
Just a mile and a half, maybe not even that far away from Camp 54. It was right on Indian School Road. Mm-hmm. I remember back then when the homes and everybody was still there full swing. I remember spending the night with a Robles family. I was practically raised with them. I just hung out with them. They later moved to Mesa. But I remember getting up in the morning, and Stella, the one that I liked the best, she looked down the road where my mom lived, and she said, I had no idea my mom was pregnant. But anyway, she said, probably Magdalena had her baby because the doctor's car is there at her house. So I took off barefooted and everything, ran down the road to my mom's house because I wanted to catch the stork. And I didn't care about the baby or anything. I just wanted to see the stork. And so I asked, ¿Dónde está la garza? ¿Dónde está la garza? And my uncle took me to the porch. He goes, well, it was back here in the porch. Let's go look, let's go look. And we ran to the porch to see, ya se fue. So I never got to see the stork. They fooled us. They fooled us back then. We were believers.
And so when did you guys move out of the camps permanently? So you said your dad was...
When I was still living there when I got married. This was in 60, like 60, I think. I got married and moved out. And then later they built my dad a home in Camp 53, so he moved out. Mm-hmm. And that was the last home there.
I have a silly question. Just remember your mom's Christmas tree. What did the braceros do for Christmas?
I don't recall that. But not much they could do. You know, I don't think.
In the camp?
They're here on their own, uh-huh.
And in the camp, did you guys have any, like, in any churches or priests to celebrate things like that? Or did you guys have to be down the camp and going to town for that?
We had to go to the church in Litchfield.
Because there was none in the camp.
No, we didn't have church. There was people that would come around, I remember, and teach and preach, but... I'm not vaguely, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so then, after you moved from the camp, you had gotten married. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that before or after you started playing softball?
No, I started playing before. When I was like 14, 15, my brother would take me into Litchfield, and we had a team, and we played softball there. Mm-hmm. And then I got married, and my husband wouldn't allow me to play. He didn't think I could, I guess. And so I missed out on 10 years. And I got a job at the school, which is right next to my house. And finally I asked one of the teachers, do you know of any softball teams? And Mr. McNeil was his name. He said, I'm a coach. Do you want to try out for me? And I go, yes. So I made the team and I played for like 11 years, you know, after that. You know, my prime, I missed out on my prime. But I still enjoyed it, though, you know, very
much.
Why
did you decide after 10 years to go back to softball?
I always wanted to play, but my husband wouldn't allow it. I always wanted to play, and I wouldn't have gotten to play if I hadn't gotten in contact with a teacher, and also my dad. My dad had a car. He says, why don't you take the car to your house? I never use it. So I took advantage of that, and I went to the practices and the games and everything. And nothing could stop me after that, husband or nothing. No kids. I played while I was pregnant and everything. So nothing stopped me.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so how many kids do you have right now?
I had six.
Six?
Well, seven, really, seven children. Lost one. Mm-hmm.
And what did you do at the school? What were your jobs?
Well, I got a job as a teacher's aide. Mm-hmm. And every time that we had to go recess or whatever, I'd go and play volleyball or whatever it was with the girls in PE. And one day the girl, the teacher's aide at that time, said, "Do you want my job?" And I said, "No." I go, "No, I just enjoy playing with the girls." "No, no." And she goes, "No, no." She goes, I'm going to quit. I thought maybe you might want to take over." And so I said, "I'd like to." So then I ended up working there for 9 years, doing that same job with children, mm-hmm. supervising from the second grade on to the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, what did you focus on here in Arizona?
Just working, you know. I enjoyed working. I worked with a teacher there. I was very close to him, and when he moved on to Sholo, I quit for a year. I couldn't work for anybody else. And so then I stayed home for a year, and then I went to get a job at a Halloween and theatrical makeup place. I worked there for 7 years. And then I worked for the Rubbermaid Company for 18 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So supervised all along. I supervised the children, not realizing that I was a supervisor, you know. I just enjoyed my job so much. And then I went to work for the Creative Images, it was called, and I ended up being a supervisor there, even though I didn't want the responsibility. That's why I left the job at the school. I didn't want the responsibility. Went on to work at Creative Images, ended up being a supervisor with responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, I want to quit this job. I want to go work for Rubbermaid and pack parts. I ended up being a supervisor for 16 years. So, and it was brought to my attention not too long ago that I had taken after my dad, my supervisory skills after my dad. It had not occurred to me. And it was all because of how I treated people. I was just like him, you know, and I didn't have an education. I got away with it. You know, all the other supervisors had college degrees and all that, but I didn't, and I survived just because of the way I treated people.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you learned from Braceros that was exceptional and extraordinary in your experience or those few years you got to interact with them?
Just that they were genuine people, you know, and just about that. I'll never forget, you know, how kind and respectful that they were. So I guess that inspired me, you know.
Is there any way that you feel that they changed something for you or for your family?
Probably that, you know, that they inspired me to, you know, struggle. You know, to survive the way they did. So, mm-hmm.
Did you, when you were living alongside them, did you perceive them as people who had a positive or a negative experience?
Positive, all the time. Positive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm about to stop the tape, but is there anything else that you want to tell? Any other stories? Anything else about your family's experience with Braceros, about your experience in the camp that you think should be included so people can understand your story?
I don't think so. I think we covered it pretty much.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is Mireya Loza, Avondale, Arizona, the 10th of January, with Carmen Soto. This is Track 2.
Can you tell me a little bit about when the Bracero, I guess, was it a barrack burned or was it a house?
No, they had moved into one of the homes, which I believe is pictured in the pictures. They had moved there, and that's when they used to come home from work and strum the guitar and sing, you know. and we just used to go out and listen. And it was a guitar that they had borrowed from my dad. My grandfather had bought it for my older sister, and it was a Gibson guitar. And one of the nights, the house burned down, and the braceros, I remember his name was Alberto, he felt really bad because they had lost the guitar and it didn't belong to him, it belonged to my dad. Mm-hmm. But my dad never felt bad about it.
Did anybody get hurt?
No, nobody got hurt. They got out in time.
Just the guitar. Mm-hmm.
Just the guitar. $80 back then was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But so be it.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.